to thank you for this opportunity to open up your word, to let, Lord, you become the main thing. Because, Father, it's so easy to be distracted by all the little things in this world, all the little notes that are out of tune, and all the little things, Lord, that slow us down. But, Father, this morning we can come together and just be re-energized because you so loved the world that you sent your only Son, that whosoever would believe in you would not perish but have everlasting life. Father, help us to live with that everlasting life. Help us to share the news of the everlasting life. Help us, Father, to be patient with those who aren't quite where we think they should be. And help us, Father, be a voice that's sweet as honey to all who hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the Gospel of John, I'm still in chapter 1. Hopefully things will speed up. Otherwise, we will be in the Gospel of John for years. But I wanted to do this series out of the Gospel of John. I know it's Valentine's, and this isn't a Valentine's message. So, happy Valentine's Day. Your Valentine message is, husbands, love your wives. Wives, respect your husbands. Okay? That's pretty simple, pretty straightforward. If you can remember that, you're going to have a happy Valentine's Day.
Amen. Happy wife, happy life.
Happy wife, happy life. Amen. Verses 43 through 51. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Philip and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said to him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus answered him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Now, there is an awful lot of little gems in this passage. The very first three words, "the next day." There's a whole sermon right there. Because it says "the next day." The verse 43 begins "the next day," just like verses 29 and 35 begin. So there's a whole sequence of events that are being lined up there. And it's well worth the study, but it's not going to pertain to today's lesson, so we're just going to skip it and move on. Next, it said that Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip, and he said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And I want to put up a map to kind of help you get your bearings on where we're at. So, up there around the big circle, that's Galilee. Can you guys see the little golden square? I know the print is tiny, but inside that golden square, we'll see if this works. Right there, it says Bethsaida. So that's the town that Philip is from. Now, verse 45 says, "Philip found Nathanael and said to him, 'We have found him of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph.' And Nathanael said to him, 'Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?'" Now, Nathanael will become a disciple of Christ. He is probably the same person as the disciple identified in other passages as Bartholomew. But Nathanael, we learn from John 21:2, is a native of Cana of Galilee. So, go to that next slide, please. Now, there's Galilee in the big red circle, Bethsaida right there, and Cana and Galilee, Cana right there, and Nazareth right there. So you can see those two towns are very close together. So, I want to put some perspective on this, because as it says, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. Now, going to Galilee is kind of like going to, my notes say Chimicum or Port Ludlow, but it's probably more like, going to Galilee is probably more like going to the Quimper Peninsula. Because though it has certain borders on it, I mean, where's the south end of the Quimper Peninsula? Where are the borders of Chimicum or Port Ludlow? Galilee was also kind of a borderless place. You know, it certainly has water on one side, there's a river on the other side. But what are the borders to the north and south? Kind of vague. Not really, lined all out for us. So it's more of an area rather than a city or a county. So, so far in the book of John, Jesus has three disciples. Andrew and Peter, who's identified as the second guy, but when we read elsewhere, we know it's Peter. So, Andrew and Peter and Philip now. They're all from Bethsaida. And Nathanael is from Cana. And Jesus, of course, is from Nazareth. So, to put this into perspective, it's kind of like saying that Andrew and Peter and Philip, they're kind of like from Paulsboro or Port Gamble. They're kind of outside the circle. And when Jesus went to Galilee, that's like saying, it's like saying he went to the Chimicum Valley. And while Jesus is there, he meets the guy from Paulsboro named Philip. Now, Philip tells his friend Nathanael, who is, say, from Port Havelock, we found the Messiah, and he's from Irondale. So, it gets pretty understandable when Nathanael responds with some pause and a little bit of doubt and a whole lot of question. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Philip just says, come and see. Though Philip has done a little bit of theological work earlier, when he said, we found the one whom Moses and the law wrote and the prophets wrote. There's really no big theological interaction going on between Philip and Nathanael. He's not saying to Nathanael, oh yes, he's the Messiah. Look right here what it says in Isaiah. He's not doing that. As a matter of fact, he's just saying, come and see. There's no effort to evangelize. There's no stress. There's no pressure. He just says, come and see. Just check it out for yourself. Don't believe me. Just come and see. So Nathanael went. And oddly, Jesus recognizes Nathanael. Excuse me. In verse 47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit. Nathanael asked the obvious question. That's the obvious question. How do you know me? And Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." And Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe?" Now, this brought a question to my mind, maybe to yours as well. And that is, what in the world was Nathanael doing under the fig tree? Whatever it was, it impacted him enough that he moved from being a doubter to being a believer just like that. With just one sentence, Nathanael changed. He had changed from, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Irondale?" to, "You are the Son of God." That got me thinking, you know, what might have been going on under that fig tree? Jesus saying, "I saw you when you were under the fig tree, when you were crying and you were depressed. I saw you under the fig tree when you were questioning whether God loved you or not. I saw you under the fig tree when you were contemplating your marriage and wondering how it had gone wrong. And you were praying your heart out. I saw you there under the fig tree. I saw you when you were hurting over the loss of a loved one. I saw you under the fig tree when you were wrestling with all types of things. When there were all types of uncertainty in your life, I saw you there under the fig tree." Now, when he says he saw him under the fig tree, that brought another passage to my mind, Genesis chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. You'll recognize the passage. "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desired to make one wise, she took its fruit and she ate, and she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths." The famous fig leaves from the Garden of Eden. The leaves that covered up their nakedness. The fig leaves that covered up the first sin. Trying to camouflage and disguise things. And Jesus told Nathanael, "I saw you under the fig tree." You know what? Jesus sees us in our sin. He sees us when we're stuck. He sees us when we don't believe in Him. He sees us when we're loaded with doubt. And yet we learn something else from John chapter 1, and that is that when Jesus met Nathanael, having seen him under the fig tree, he just simply said, describing Nathanael, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, of whom there is no deceit." His mouth spoke like a honeycomb. Probably so many bad things he could have said about Nathanael, but he didn't. It's too bad, you know, that we don't see ourselves like Jesus sees us. It's too bad that we don't see one another the way Jesus sees us. People created in the image of God. People loaded with potential. Oh, if we could just see that. If we could just see each other, not with our frailties, but with our possibilities. If we would stop seeing ourselves as broken, broken down, and start seeing ourselves as wealthy and loaded with potential, what a victory that would make for us as individuals every single day in our lives. That we would get up, we would look in the mirror, we would wash our face, we would comb our hair, and we would look, and you might think to yourself, you know, I sure wish I had some styling sense, or I sure wish I had more time to fix my space, or whatever. But instead of doing all that, instead of getting out the little makeup mirror, you know, that you can suck up there and you can see every pore in your face looks like the Valley of Armageddon. Instead of looking in that, just go ahead and take a step back from the mirror and get a full big view. And just say to yourself, you are looking pretty fine today. Me and the Lord, we can handle this, whatever it is. And then we can step out, walking in victory, with spring in your step, smile on your face, shoulders thrown back. Never lose your balance, never lose your swagger. Let it live on because you are created in the image of God. Let your hearts overflow with joy. There's a lot in this world to be down about. But when you go down, all that means is you get to come back up. So praise be to God. Don't get stuck seeing yourself the way the world sees you. Don't get stuck being oppressed and smitten and ground down. See yourself as a survivor. See yourself as somebody who can overcome. Man up. Face the day. If you don't have the strength within yourself, pick up the phone. Call a friend. If you don't have the strength, get down on your knees. Pray to God. If you don't have the strength, open up your Bible and read some of these passages that talk about these amazing things that Jesus had to say to his children. To you and to me. Because you see, that's when we're going to get to the place where we're going to go where Jesus was telling Nathanael, where he said, you will see greater things than these. And he said to him, truly I say to you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Angels ascending and descending. Do you see them ever in your life? I think that they're there every time the gospel's shared. Every time you meet somebody who's kind of downtrodden and you encourage them. Every time your words are sweet as honey and somebody takes a frown and turns it around and is reminded, I think that the angels are ascending. The message from heaven is ascending and descending. That's what the word angel means, messenger. The message is ascending. The message of heaven is coming down. And it's changing lives right here, right now. Can you hear the angels? Can you see their wings as you go about your day-to-day life? Is the world changing before you? Because of God's work in you, is your world changing? Is the Son of God being elevated? You know, as followers of Jesus Christ, we believe that the promises of the disciples are the promises for all of his disciples, including us. So, why don't we see these miracles? We do see them. We just don't spot them when they're happening right in front of us. Operating too much with our eyes closed. operating too much with our eyes closed, maybe our hearts closed. Well, I want to give you three things that can become barriers to us seeing these miracles. Number one, if we spend too much time covering ourselves with fig leaves. No, naked? No, I'm not naked. Who told you you were naked? I'm not naked. I've got these fig leaves. One of my favorite things is, if somebody asks you how you doing, what do you say?
Fine.
That's the answer, right? How you doing? Fine. What happened to your arm? Oh, got cut off in the door over there. It's fine. I'm fine. I'm doing good. How's things going? Fine. I saw your car was all bashed in. Yeah. My friend got killed in the accident, but I'm doing fine. We do it all the time, don't we? Fine. I don't have a nice little acronym for it, but I can tell you what fine means. Fine means fig leaf in place. It means I'm all covered up. I'm fine. Can't see me. I'm fine. We spend too much time covered up by the fig leaves. Not so much with one another, because if you run into somebody in a grocery store, you don't have to spill every problem you've ever known to them. That's not what I'm talking about. So you see somebody in the grocery store, they're like, how you doing? You're like, fine. I don't want to talk about it. Fine. But you know, when you go to God in prayer, how are you? The Lord's like, how you doing today? And you're like, fine. He's like, you know, I know all things. I'm fine. You know, I saw your attitude yesterday. I'm fine. You know, I'm worried about dying. Oh, now I'm getting somewhere. Go ahead and take another fig leaf off. I'm worried about my spouse dying. Okay. I'm worried about my money. It's running out. I'm worried about being homeless. Okay. Now we're getting back down. Then the question becomes, well, I'm just standing naked before God. No, you're not. You're never naked before God. You're clothed in His glory when you get all the fig leaves out of the way. Amen. Number two. We don't see the angels ascending and descending. When people tell us about Jesus, but we don't verify Jesus for ourselves. This is huge. I've seen it lots and lots of times. You ask somebody, are you a Christian? They're like, oh yeah. How do you know you're Christian? When did you receive? Well, I just kind of always believed. I was raised in a Christian home. This is my favorite. I'm a Catholic. Or I'm a Presbyterian. Or I didn't even pick on us. I'm evangelical and Republican. People hear the message about Jesus, but they don't really verify it for themselves. When I was about 14, 15 years old, I wasn't a believer. But I was starting to think maybe there could be a God, you know? Everything's come together. So, one day I'm standing in my bedroom and I'm looking out the window and looking at the mountains behind our house. I'm just looking up there and I'm thinking, could there be a God that created all this stuff? I'm just pondering it. You know, when you're 14, you know all things. So, I just was kind of pondering it. I thought, well, what if there is a God? And I miss it. So I prayed a little prayer. I said, God, if you're there, if you're really there, if you really hear people when they pray, then I want you to, you know, and then things went through my mind, you know, send me $1 million, you know, buy me a car. But I said, change my life just a little bit. Just enough so I know that it was you. Next day, I'm sitting in Spanish class at the high school. Levy had failed, by the way. Just reminding you to vote. The desks were all set around the wall, and the teacher kind of walked around in the center, so we didn't have lines. We were just in a big line. I see these two girls across the way, and they're looking at me, and they're talking back and forth. These weren't just any girls, they were two of the cool girls. And then I see one of them write something down and fold the note up. Then they pass it. And I'm watching it go all around. Even though it had my name written on the outside and saying, pass this to David Hodgen, occasionally one of them would stop, look at it, open it up, get a crazy smile on their face, fold it back up, and pass it on. So, I'm sure my face was the same color as a basic regular beet. And the note came down, 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 down. And eventually it came to me. And I opened it up. And it says, Patty Jackson has a crush on me. Patty Jackson was one of the cool kids. You know what this meant? This meant that I had just been elevated to stardom. This meant that I could sit in the hallway with the cool kids. This meant I was now in. It didn't occur to me for 2 or 3 days because I was so starstruck, I'm sure. Moonstruck, whatever. But then I remembered, funny, I got that note the day after saying that prayer. Funny how it changed my life, I thought, a little bit. Let me just finish that story, because after sitting with the cool group, and since there's no alumni from the illustrious Cedarwood High, I can say, after sitting with those cool group for 2 or 3 weeks, I begin to think these people are the most arrogant, stuck on themselves, jerks I've ever met in my life. And lucky for me, my real friends took me back. I had to dump Patty Jackson. She gave me the opportunity to date Colleen. A much better choice. You see, when people are just telling you about Jesus and you're just believing that, well, I'm supposed to believe, you're not really getting in and getting to know him. You're not going to find out that he really answers prayers, specific prayers. You see, it's like Philip and Nathaniel. Philip didn't have to say a million things to Nathaniel. He just said, come and see. Just come and see. Oh, I remember Colleen and I had this Toyota station wagon. Stick the key in, turn it. We're broke. Battery might as well have been $1,000, you know. You've been there, right? Mm-hmm. Colleen is always just about 10 steps ahead of me in a prayer life. She'd be sitting beside me and she'd say, well, honey, let's pray. The battery's dead. Well, let's pray. The battery's dead. I already know the answer to the prayer. The battery's dead. Let's pray. All right. Pray. Dear Lord, she'd say, start this car. I'd grab that key. If it happened once, it would have been a coincidence. But I'm telling you, it happened about 20 times. And then this lady says, I'm sharing the story of testimony night one night, and this lady says, you know what's wrong with your car? Battery's not dead. There's no water in the battery. Right. Guess what? There was no water in the battery. I filled it up and we were able to go to the car for 2 more years. Come and see. Just come and see. Just try it out. But try it out for yourself. Don't try to live off Billy Graham's testimony or my testimony or Joel Osteen's testimony. Try living off your own testimony. The last thing I wanted to mention that will help you see the miracles of life is once you believe, once you're like, you better believe I'm a believer, sell out for it. Just sell out. Just say, yeah, I'm a believer. What are you going to do about it? Amen. Just let that be your attitude going forward. Whatever. I believe that man fell from their relationship with God and that they were irreconcilable because God was holy, or God is holy, and man is sinful. And when man was stuck there in his despair, separated and lost from his original image and calling, that Jesus Christ came as the sacrifice for sin and restored those who will believe to their original and rightful place as ordained by God.
Amen.
If you got a problem with that, either get over it or don't talk to me. Because I believe it. I'm sold out on it.
Amen.
Are you sold out on your faith? Because you see, you'll see miracles happening when you're sold out. When you're wishy-washy, you're going to see all kinds of wishy-washy stuff. But when you're sold out, you see miracles. You see marriages that are healed. You see wallets that were once empty get filled. You see eyes that were going blind begin to see, even though the vision may not get any better. You suddenly begin to see. Joints that ached, that the doctor can still tell you there's lots of arthritis in there, but it just doesn't hurt like it used to hurt. Because there's something that happens when Jesus Christ gets down deep in your soul. You begin to see this world and this life as like a bus stop. And you're just waiting for the bus. And you know that one of these days, you're going to hear the ding. And you're going to hear this. You're going to hear the conductor saying,
"Bus number 7, bound for heaven, all aboard."
And you'll be good to go. There's peace that passes all understanding when you're sold out. And I challenge you today to live your lives sold out. If Christianity's not working for you, it's like saying, it's like me saying, you know, I think I could make it in the NFL. Yep. So I'm going to buy season tickets and set in the stands, and then I'm going to be able to yell at the quarterback and call him a loser because I could do a better job. Don't be that guy. Be the guy who makes the team. Be the guy who gets on the field. Be the guy who makes the plays for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's a different kind of game. But the rewards are much, much higher. So, I'll give you a little bitty poem that just came to mind. I've been working for the Lord. The pay isn't much. Compared to the pros, it's only peanuts. Listen to me, fellas, and listen to me, girls. The retirement plan is out of this world. Let's stand together for a message of salvation that comes through Jesus Christ. Father, there are people here today who need to make a change, who need to jump in with both feet, who need to find out if they're going to sink or swim, and who are going to love you enough to not even care, but they're just going to jump in. because they are qualified and they are capable. Father, we just want to praise you and thank you for being our God, for being the one who is always there with us. So help us, Father, to let our words be sweet as honey. Let our words be an encouragement to all those who would listen. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of our mouths, but only that which is edifying to the hearer. Let us, Lord, live for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You'd remain standing on him, trust in him, live for him, and watch your life begin to heal. Begin to become complete. Not all the bad things will come into order the way you want them, but all the bad things will come into a place where you will look at them and say, I can deal with this for as long as I need to. Troy Norris, I can remember thinking, is when my sergeant one day shines the sun.
Amen.
It
might have understood.
Father, we just want to thank you for your love for us. We want to thank you that Jesus Christ did the work to heal us and redeem us to you. So we don't need to live downtrodden. For Lord, we can walk in victory. We thank you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.